Good morning to you. Good morning. Will you turn to Genesis 29, please? For the next few weeks, we're going to be continuing the Genesis stories that we began here last summer, the stories of Abraham's family and how God took care of this family because God wanted to bring His blessing to all the nations. So in Genesis, these are family stories, and they are honest stories. So let's read. This is the story of Leah and Rachel. This is the story of Leah and Rachel, and we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 15. Genesis 29, 15. We'll start with the marriage story of Jacob to Leah and Rachel, but the second half of this story about the birth of the sons is our main interest. Genesis 29:15. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed to him like only a few days because of his love for her. And then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed. I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, and then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Jacob deceived and cheated his brother and his father, and now Laban did the same to him. Polygamy. The writer of Genesis does not condemn polygamy because he already wrote Genesis 2. And we can all see that two becoming one flesh again does not work for three people or more people. So the biblical writers do not condemn what their readers should be able to figure out. In chapter 31, for example, Rachel steals her father's household gods. She has no business stealing from anyone, especially her father, and she worships the God of Abraham and Isaac. Why does she want these little pagan idols? But the writer does not say that, because we all know it. Biblical writers assume that their readers read lots of the Bible, and we could help them out there. So we don't assume that because something is not condemned, the writers don't know what's wrong. Let's keep reading. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now, at last, my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. So he was named Levi. And she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." And so she named him Judah. And then she stopped having children. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children, or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God, who has kept you from having children?" And then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my servant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and I too can build a family through her." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. And then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, "What good fortune!" And she named him Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a 5th son. And then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband." So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a 6th son. And then Leah said, "God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him 6 sons. So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." That's as far as we'll read. So we're going to go over this Rachel story, and we'll do this in 7 parts. Number 1, Leah's trouble and Rachel's trouble. This is Genesis 29:31. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. So, here's the basic plot. Leah cannot get Jacob's love, and Rachel cannot have children. Leah can have children, and Rachel has Jacob's love, but they are both unhappy because of what they do not have. God enabled Leah to conceive. Do you know that every patriarchal wife was barren? Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. The slave girls were not. Hagar, Bilhah, and Zilpah did not need their wombs opened. But the first 3 generations of the promised family should each have been the last, because the women were barren, but God acted. So Leah here was not loved. God felt sorry for her and enabled her to have children. 2, Leah names her sons. Listen to Leah's heart in these four name explanations. 1. It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now. 2. Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. 3. Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. 4. This time I will praise the Lord. Then she stopped having children. Leah knows that God is being good to her, and she's very grateful. But she wants her husband to love her and be attached to her, and that's not happening. And after the 4th, Leah said, "This time I will praise the Lord." And that is a high point. See, she simply gave God thanks for what she had, never mind what she did not have. On the whole, in this story, Leah was more content than Rachel. It is possible that Jacob never forgave Leah for going along with Laban's scheme to fool Jacob on his wedding night. But when he grew up, Esau, his brother, was his father Isaac's favorite, and he, Jacob, was his mother Rebekah's favorite. His parents played favorites, and Jacob's favorite was Rachel. After 4 children, Leah stopped, and it does not say why, but we do get a hint a little later about why she stopped having children. 3. Rachel responds with Bilhah. Now we're in chapter 30, verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Rachel is jealous of Leah. She's unreasonable with Jacob, and Jacob gets angry at her. Some days, that's how our lives go, isn't it? Here are the 2 names Rachel gave Bilhah's sons. One was Dan. "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." So she took Bilhah's son as God being good to her. She called the second son Naphtali, "Because I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." Wow. Rachel is competing furiously with her sister. And now she feels finally she has come out ahead. 4. Leah responds with Zilpah. This is chapter 30, verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. Listen to how Leah names these 2 sons. The first was Gad, because she said, "What good fortune!" And the second she named Naphtali, because she said, "How happy I am! The women will call me happy." Again, Leah seems more content. She's genuinely thankful for the good things she has. Jacob is not treating her any better, and never does. And her sister does not have much time for her either. So she enjoys what she has, which are all these boys, and feels blessed and fortunate. 5. Leah hires Jacob for a night. Chapter 30, verse 14. During wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the fields and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough? You took away my husband. Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Rachel came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. Wow, again. So this sounds to me like the reason Leah stopped having children was that Rachel convinced Jacob not to go to Leah's tent anymore. So Leah buys Rachel's permission for Jacob to spend the night with her. Sad stuff. Folks, the Bible always describes polygamy like this. It is an unhappy business. Number 6, God listened to Leah. 30 verse 17. God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant. It does not say God enabled her to conceive. It seems more like she wanted Jacob to come to her again. On the other hand, what Leah really wanted was Jacob's love, and Genesis never tells us that. But Rachel told Leah that Jacob could come to Leah that night, and Leah had 2 sons, which means that normal relations between Leah and Jacob continued past that night. Here's how Leah named these 2 sons. First, Issachar, because God has rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband. And the second was Zebulun. God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him 6 sons. Every child is a gift from God, and Leah takes them all like that, and so does Rachel. On the other hand, Leah still wants something from her husband that she's not getting. And she hopes her childbearing will achieve that. After her first child, she said, "Surely my husband will love me." But it did not happen. And after the 6th child, she says, "This time my husband will treat me with honor." But that didn't seem that ever happened. Number 7. God remembered and listened to Rachel. Chapter 30, verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." So finally, God gave Rachel what she always wanted. She named him Joseph because God has taken away my disgrace. The names themselves are a powerful story. They come from the heart, and they tell us what's really going on here. God remembered Rachel, listened to her, enabled her to conceive. The Bible often talks like this, and I want you to notice how these words are used. We might take that line to mean that until now, God had forgotten about Rachel. Until now, God was not listening to her prayers. In the Bible, that's not what it means. When the Bible says God remembered and God listened, they use that when God decides to act. Okay, those things go with God deciding to act. God was certainly remembering and listening to Rachel all along. But the Bible often uses these words when God decides to act. I can't explain all of why that is, but it's predictable. Think of Leah. What she wanted was for Jacob to love her, be attached to her, and to honor her. And that never happened. But does that mean God was not remembering her or listening to her? Certainly not. He was being good to her. And she knew it, just not what she wanted most. Rachel here asked God for another son, and eventually he gave that too. Benjamin was born. So let's make some comments here. In Genesis, there are many stories of brothers that do not get along. And this story tells us that it happens to sisters too. It happens to sisters as well. There are many problems in the family that carried God's blessing to everybody. And these sons here, these are the patriarchs, the origins of the tribes of Israel. God's plans to bless the world through Abraham's descendants took a big step forward with this story. This is not a model home, is it? Not a chance. The 12 patriarchs themselves were sometimes unpleasant people, but so were their parents. And that's how God works. This is about God deciding to get stuff done, not about how good we are. Bila and Zilpah. They have a painful role in this story because they do not get to keep their children. They're not even called their children. And they do not even get to name them. And the ones doing this to them are other women. It's more Rachel and Leah than Jacob. Rachel and Leah view Bila and Zilpah as basically an extension of their own bodies. And the way we could read this, it sounds like neither God nor the writer of Genesis are aware of this awful injustice. But remember the Hagar story earlier. Sarah sent her away, and Hagar was in big trouble, and God came to her and helped her. And she was surprised, and she named God, the God who sees me. She was surprised that God saw her. No one else saw her. Genesis gives several important names to God, and Hagar's is one of the honored names of God. So there are many human problems in this story that God did not fix, but he knows, and the writer of Genesis knows. And God saw Bilhah, and God saw Zilpah too. What I like most about Leah and Rachel is that they grew up in Laban's home, and he did not worship the God of Abraham and Isaac. But Jacob did worship the God of Abraham and Isaac, and so Leah and Rachel did too, and they always knew that God was in their story. And it comes up again and again in their heartfelt names. Their lives are built around this God. And even Rachel at the end, God has taken away my disgrace. May Yahweh add to me another son. And God really was in their story. He was involved with all three in this marriage and the slave women. He was with them. He paid close attention. He helped, and he was good to them in spite of their failures. It is no good, people, having devotions every morning if we do not see God as a major player in the things that shape our days and lives. He is a great God. And the nice thing is, he does not have to fix us to use us. He's gracious with our daily shortcomings, and he's on our side. And that was the promise and the blessing to Abraham's family. That was the promise there. And the reason God's plans went forward with Jacob and Leah and Rachel is because they were the family of promise, and God wanted the plans to go forward. And the thing is, through Christ, we have inherited this very promise, this very blessing. What God did for that troubled family, he does for every family that comes to Christ. He is doing these things for all of us every day. Through Christ, we inherited all of this, and that's very good news. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, the God who sees us, this is an encouraging story. This tells us that you are in the middle of all kinds of painful and messy situations, and that you are faithful. And when you decide you're going to bless people and take care of them and use them to take your plans forward, then you do that. And we have inherited this very promised blessing because you wanted to do this for all the nations. Thank you for telling us the shortcomings of the original family. It's so encouraging for us, Lord. And you do not ignore their faults, and you do not ignore ours. But when you're going to take blessing forward, then you're going to do it. And we praise you, and we give you glory. Amen. Will you rise, please, for the benediction? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Go in God's peace to love and serve the Lord. You are dismissed.